Welcome back to the Word for Life radio ministry of Brookside Baptist Church. I'm Pastor Greg Huffman, counseling pastor, senior citizens pastor. And with me in the studio for the last couple of times has been Pastor Brian Peterson on staff here at Brookside. Pastor Brian, you do a lot of counseling because you teach a young couple Sunday school class and you're in charge of shepherding and discipleship. But it goes beyond just a job title. It's a heartbeat for you and your wife Jennifer, and God's given you three children that others are able to watch you parent your children. Kind of puts the pressure on you, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's a lot of pressure, but it's the same pressure probably on every one of the listeners who are listening to this program. God has put on each of our plates the command to disciple. In fact, his last command was this, that we are to teach all nations. And the idea is to make disciples of all nations. And that's what he's called us to do. Our job as parents and as believers is to be involved in discipleship consistently. And I think that'd probably be a great series to do at some point where you and I can expand on that particular area.
Right.
But in this area of just parenting young people and discipling young people, it is absolutely critical that we have really God's blueprint on how to do this. I know a few days ago we talked about this idea of the mission. Our mission when it comes to parenting is that our children would love God supremely, and then ultimately they would look like Him perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was the goal for your children and continues to be the goal
right.
for your children and grandchildren.
Right.
That's, of course, my passion, that my kids would be extravagant lovers of their God.
Mm-hmm.
And they would demonstrate it through just the way they live. Then we also looked at the Bible methods. Of course, the world has lots of methods on how to raise your children. Of course, you're getting bombarded with them consistently. You can catch them on the talk radio programs. You can catch them on TV all the time on, hey, this is the way you need to raise your kid. But the sad thing is that most of those methods and the ways are not biblical methods. They're just oftentimes way that psychologists have suggested to change your kid's behavior. And what we looked at our last program was that not only do we need to have the right mission, but we also need to have the right methods. And the method that the scriptures talk about is, number one, that we would be parents who are relying on His Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
That we would be those who walk in His Spirit. But then also, as we walk in the Spirit, we are using the scriptures
okay.
to be the tool to disciple our children.
The owner's manual, as we talked about.
Exactly.
But you know, Pastor Brian, there are times that day after day after day after day, it seems like our kids don't get it. And it is so difficult for us to maintain the motivation to rear godly children. And we just kind of want to say, oh, forget it. It's not working. It's never going to work. What's the foundation for keeping that motivation up?
Yeah, you're exactly right. Why do I get up each morning after putting my kids to bed the night before, sometimes having a hard time putting them to bed, and then going through a whole nother day of them possibly complaining or trying to teach them a new truth? What keeps me going, and what should keep all of us going? I think the first thing is this. God commanded it.
Oh, has it come to that?
Yeah, number one.
God commanded it.
God has told us we got to do this. In fact, in Ephesians 6, he tells the fathers, he says, and you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. But then he says this, bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. He has commanded me as a parent to bring my children up under God's teaching, God's admonition. And so I think that would just be one of the motives. One of the motives is, you know what, God's commanded me to do this. And because God's commanded me to do this, I got to do this.
And so consequently, the first part of that verse is, don't provoke your children to wrath. We kind of need to know some of the things that provoke children to wrath.
Oh, yeah. In fact, maybe in one of our other programs, we could talk about that. There are numbers of ways that we as fathers and even mothers can cause our children to become angry. And that's one of the commands. In fact, there's two commands, of course, in that verse. One, don't provoke. Number two, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And that's the command there.
Nurture and admonition, define those two words.
The idea of nurturing would be to grow them and to teach them.
To train them. Okay.
Train them up into his teaching. Ultimately, he's the parent. He is the one who is working to train and mold them into his image. We're supposed to bring them up under his tutelage.
Okay.
His nurture, his teaching, not our teaching.
And so our children need to understand that we're doing what God said we should do because they belong to the Lord.
Exactly. So that's one of our motivations. We do it because we want to obey the Lord. Another motivation for all of us could be that if we parent our children correctly, oftentimes it can keep us from great sorrow. I mean, you read through the book of Proverbs, and you are quickly reminded of how painful it is if you and I neglect this idea of parenting. In fact, Proverbs 10, verse 1, it says, a foolish son is the grief of his mother.
Mm.
Proverbs 15, verse 20 talks about how a foolish man despises his mother, which means he counts as worthless his mother. And any mother that feels that way, that's going to bring her great grief.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. Another one, in Proverbs 17:21, it says, and the father of a fool has no joy.
So both mother and father.
Yeah. And says in another passage, a foolish son is the ruin of his father.
There you go.
Yeah. And then finally, going back to the mother, it says in Proverbs 29, verse 15, a child left to himself brings shame to his mother.
So consequently, we can't just let the child make all of his own decisions and allow our home become a child-centered home and expect any kind of good times to come.
Yeah, of course not. And that's why it's so critical that we obey that command to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And I'll tell you this, if we don't parent in the right way, oftentimes it will bring great sorrow. But on the opposite end, if you and I can biblically parent, oftentimes it reaps incredible rewards.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, one of my favorite passages in all the scripture is the one written by John where he says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Now, I know for you, Pastor Greg, you have spent many years parenting your three sons.
Mm-hmm.
And each of them right now is serving the Lord in ministry.
Right.
Is there anything that gives you greater joy than that?
No. And, you know, we've got one son who's a missionary in Sao Paulo, Brazil. And sometimes parents will say, well, man, I wouldn't want my kids to be that far away. And I've often said, I would much rather they be on the other side of the world serving God and loving God than in the closest jail.
Exactly.
You know, and so, yes, there's tremendous reward when we see our children walking in truth. But yet, the reward is years after the parenting process. And sometimes we as parents want to see the reward right now.
Exactly. I think of another verse. It says this, the father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he who begets a wise child will delight in him. And then he says this, let your father and your mother be glad, and let her who bore you rejoice.
Amen.
And it just talks about how a father who has strived to do this, of course, any person who strives to parent their kid, we still can't do it on our own.
Correct.
It is only going to be the Lord who does it. And we can do all that we can, but of course our children are going to make those decisions.
The final decisions, yes.
Exactly. But as we strive to parent our children in the right way, the Bible has given many truisms that talk about how you do this, and oftentimes this is exactly how they're going to turn out. Another passage says, correct your son, and he will give you rest. Yes, he will give delight to your soul.
And man, what a precious promise.
Yeah, we are supposed to constantly be doing that. So those would be three motivations that God commands us. It keeps us from great sorrow, and then it has great rewards. But I think when you really come down to it, what should be our motivation behind why we parent our children the way we do? The reason we do it is because we love him. And parenting our children this way gives him great glory. And why do I strive on a consistent basis, and why should you strive to, on a consistent basis, parent your children in this way? It's because of what Jesus Christ did for you on the cross. And his love should constrain you to no longer live for yourself,
right,
but unto him which died for you and rose again. And so from now on, your life is about, hey, I want to live for him, and I want to do what his word says. And his word says to bring my kids up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And because I love God, and because that gives him glory, that's what I'm going to do.
So Matthew 5:16, about letting your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, maybe your parenting works, and glorify God in heaven.
Yeah.
What a joy it is when people are able to say, those kids love God.
Yeah. And ultimately, that gives God glory.
And it's such a thrill in our own church, Pastor Brian, to watch our teenagers singing in the choir, going on missions trips, going out on weekly evangelism opportunities and sharing Christ with others, and coming back, and they're so excited because they saw somebody get saved. All of a sudden, there is a purpose for living that is beyond themselves.
Yeah, you're exactly right. There really is no other purpose in life besides giving God glory. That's what we were created to do. I love that passage where Jesus is questioned about who should they give their money to. And they try to trick him with a coin. They say, who should we give this money to? And, of course, Jesus, wisest man that ever lived, the God-man, asked them a question. He says, whose image is on this? And how do they respond? They say, Caesar's image. And then he looks at him and says, okay, you give to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. But then he says, but you give to me the things that are mine.
Right.
Now, if God would have held you and I up there and would have said this, whose image is on you?
Exactly. Because we were made in the image of God.
Yeah. And so what he's saying is, render to me the things that are mine. And you and I, we're his.
Right.
And we should be giving everything back to him. All the glory should be rebounding back to him. So that would be, when it really comes down to it, why do I parent my children? It's because I want to glorify my God.
Well, Pastor Brian, our time is gone, and maybe sometime in the future we can get back together again and discuss some more things in this vitally important aspect of parenting. And we trust that God will use these thoughts to help you in your parenting and grandparenting, for your children and grandchildren to reflect Christ. God bless you.